That's one of the key passages for me as I think about what we're doing today, that God allows us that time to slow down sometimes and then think about what his word says in relationship to sin, which is what separates us from God. He says, if, conditional, this is how we know conditional versus unconditional promises again. If we do this, he will do that. That's a way to say, okay, there's a condition attached to this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See the condition? What a beautiful memory passage for us to know, well, what do I need to do to make sure my heart is right this morning as I walk into communion? Take that verse, take that passage from 1 John. He says, if I confess my sins, if I just say, God, quicken my heart to any way that I've disappointed you, anything that's been wrong that I haven't made right this week, he'll bring it to your mind, you confess it to him, and then he does the rest. And he does more than that. He takes it, casts it as far as from the east as to the west. So if it's just your own brain or the enemy bringing stuff up to condemn you, then when you go to God to confess it, God is going to say, what are you talking about? We've dealt with that. That's done. That's over with. That's been forgiven. That's taken care of. Don't sweat that. God doesn't remember. He casts the sins into the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't recall them once we've repent of them and turn from them. It's a gift that God has that we sure wish we had. Because we forgive, we never forget. Our master said the blessing for wine and distributed the cup to his disciples, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In Matthew 26, it says, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. In Mark 14:23, it says, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. In Luke 22:20, and in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. And in 1 Corinthians 11:25, in the same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So Jesus, during this time, he invoked three covenantal passages from the Scriptures, Exodus 24:8, Jeremiah 31:31, Zechariah 9:11. Exodus 24 details the rituals of the blood covenant ceremony at Mount Sinai, the original wedding ceremony between God and Israel. When Israel accepted the terms of the Torah, Moses splashed the people with sacrificial blood and declared, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Jeremiah 31 describes the promise of the new covenant of the Messianic era. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will put my Torah within them, and on their hearts I will write it. I will be their God, and they will be my people. The writer of the book of Hebrews develops the blood of the covenant theme further, demonstrating that just as the covenant at Sinai was inaugurated with blood, so too the new covenant needed to be inaugurated with blood. Zechariah 9, a passage heavy with messianic prophecies, declares, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I have set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Are you thankful to be set free from the waterless pit this morning? By alluding to these texts, Rabbi Yeshua indicated that he is the agent to bring about the new covenant, the Messiah. The new covenant, however, will not be sealed by the sacrifices, but by his own martyrdom. Blood which is poured out refers to the blood of martyrs. In other words, an idiom for a sacrificial death. Yeshua looked to the messianic prophecies of Isaiah 53. He also knew the Pharisaic theology of how the suffering of the righteous atones for sins. From that theological matrix, he spoke of his spilled blood providing forgiveness for sins. So as we walk into communion today, the thing that I want us to reflect on and remember is it's a covenant, it's a promise that we're celebrating. As we take this, we have to remember, as we think about Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, the one who lived a perfect, sinless life, who never said so much as what we would consider a tiny white lie, he was making a promise to his disciples and then all who would come after that. And his promise was, take this bread and break it and remember my body broken for you. Take this cup and drink it and remember my blood shed for you. Because I took your punishment. I took the wrath of God the Father on me. Never let the enemy of God tell you that you still have a price to pay. Never let the enemy of your soul and my soul tell you that you are condemned, that God doesn't love you. He loved you so much that he gave you an amazing promise when he sent his son Jesus. He sent the most valuable thing that he had because he valued you that much. So that you would never have to pay the price for your own sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Upon Jesus himself. And he said, I'm making a covenant, a promise with you, that if you take my sacrifice, if you take my sacrifice, if you determine that what I did was for you, and you believe that and become a follower of mine, here's what you get in return. I take all the ugly, I take all the bad, I take the punishment for everything you've ever thought or done. And here's what I'm handing you. Put on these robes of righteousness that are mine so that when you stand before the Father, he doesn't see what you've done. He looks upon you and he sees the white robes of righteousness. That's how the Father can look at us and go, man, I really love that guy. I really love that girl. They're pretty awesome. Because he doesn't see our sin. That's a pretty great deal. It's pretty awesome. Thank you, Lord. But his covenant, his promise with you is written in the most precious ink that it could be because it's written in his own blood. That's what that covenant promise is signed with. He signed it with his blood in stone for eternity. My sins haven't just been forgiven for the past. Before I was a Christian, my sins are covered that I haven't even thought to commit yet. Wiped clean. I don't get it. I'm thankful that it works that way. I know theologically how it works that way. I'm thankful for it, but wow, what a thought. My sins, past, present, and future, forgiven by God. And there I'm talking about salvation. Because I believe in the security of my salvation. Here we're talking more about sanctification. I'm talking about where you're at right now with God, that we can walk into here pure in heart. So as our elders come forward, I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and hearts and pray as we seek the Lord. Father, we do come before you today humbly, recognizing, Lord, the death of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And God, we know that if we have accepted you as our Lord and Savior and become a follower of yours and been obedient to you, in the ways that we know we're supposed to biblically, that God, we can be secure in the fact that we are saved. But God, we also know that we struggle and sometimes we sin and we haven't repented and we haven't been obedient to you. And God, we don't want to take communion in a way that's flippant. We don't want to take communion in a way that means that we don't really understand what we're doing, as if we don't care. So God, right now I pray that amongst your people, your spirit would be moving, young and old alike. And if there's anything between us, anything that needs confessed and dealt with, that right now we would just confess it to you, God. So, Father, we thank you for the sacredness of this day. We thank you for the brothers and sisters in Christ that we get to remember the promise that you gave us both individually and corporately as a body of believers. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here dealing with us at the same time, both personally and corporately as a church body. We thank you, Lord, that you are using your Spirit to bring us unity in the Spirit as we do something that you've told us is important for us to do, which is to break the bread as we remember the body of Christ that was cruelly broken for us. And as we take the cup in a few moments, we think about that cup that was lifted and that covenant promise that was given to us, that if we are truly born again followers of yours, that there's nothing that can change that. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Thank you, God, for your love this morning. Thank you for your promises. We pray your blessing over this time that we celebrate together in Jesus' name. Amen. This brother you hold represents Christ's body broken for you. And the reason I like to use matzah like this is I feel this is probably representative of what Yeshua himself used. And as you look upon it, you can see the piercings. You can see the fact that Jesus was pierced for us. You can see within here the bruisings Jesus was bruised for us. The matzah you hold is free of yeast, representing sin. So this is also, in that manner, free of sin. So as we think of this, and we remember Jesus as the sinless Lamb of God who sacrificed himself, letting his body be bruised and pierced, Lord, we remember. This cup that we hold represents the greatest gift ever given mankind, which was Jesus' perfect, sinless blood shed on our behalf. When we remember at this time the sacrifice given for us, Lord, we remember. Thank you, Jesus. This time I'm going to invite our worship team to come forward. And as they do, as we're singing this song, I know that sometimes it's kind of an abrupt ending to the service as we move right from communion into a closing song, and maybe God is still working on you or speaking to you. So I feel led this morning to just invite you that if you are dealing with stuff with God, if you're wanting to pray, if you're needing prayer, or maybe today is the day of salvation, maybe today is the day you recognize that you want to make sure that you know that you know that you know. Right? The most important question in the world. If I have a heart attack and die before I get home today, where am I going? We need to know. That's one question. We need to really know the answer to it. And if you're not sure about that, as we're singing, you can just make your way up to the front. You can have a seat on one of the front rows up here. Our elders will be aware of that and paying attention to that. And so don't worry about the song ending and that the service is over and the elders got to run out to Perkins for lunch or anything. There's nothing that they enjoy more than being able to talk to somebody about Jesus and to pray with people. So avail yourself of that. You can make your way over at any point, and even if it's not happening right during the song, afterwards they'll be aware that you've made your way up here and come over and minister to you. All right, thank you.